And then today, I'm literally loading up my car and grabbing the cats to drive home from my cabin, and they trade Sousa. And I'm like, are you guys just doing this to fuck with me right now?
Oh my god. I know, and what happens now?
I don't know.
I guess we should save this for the podcast, maybe, but...
Yeah.
We'll talk about the Tigers first, but they're just... I mean, you were gone all weekend. There's just a whole bunch of, like, goofy little spring training notes. I'll just kill those reasonably quickly, and then we can move on to the only pertinent question, which is, should the Tigers claim Corey Dickerson? Which they should, right? I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, duh. But then again, okay, we'll wait until the podcast.
All right. Okay. All right. Give me five and we'll get it. Welcome back. This is the Bless You Boys podcast. BlessYouBoys.com is the home on the SB Nation platform for all things Detroit Tigers baseball. I'm your host, Brandon Day. I'm a staff writer and editor with Bless You Boys, as is my co-host, Ashley McLennan. Ashley, how's it going tonight? I know how it's going.
We were talking about this before the podcast, and I know I've mentioned it before, but I'm also the deputy manager over at D-Rays Bay, and we have had a weekend, and it's been an extended weekend, both dramatically and because I took 5 days off, which I'm never doing again, apparently.
Yep, and then the world burned all around you while you weren't looking.
Well, nothing happens all off season, and then I'm like, it's February. I can totally take an extended long weekend, relax with my friends, leave my laptop at home, kick up my feet. Oh, what's that? The Rays have DFA'd Corey Dickerson for no possible reason whatsoever. Only all-star on the team. Well, I mean, Archer. But the only elected all-star on the team for the Rays last year. No problem. DFA him for no good reason. Pick up a trade from Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Let's just pick up CJ Cron from Los Angeles. Oh, yep, that happened. Let's trade Jake Odorizzi to the Twins for not Max Kepler, because apparently that was just too much to ask for. What else happened? Oh, right, I'm packing up the car on Tuesday evening to come home. And what do? They trade Steven Souza Jr. as part of a three-team deal with the Yankees and the Diamondbacks, because, of course, why not? I have no stress about this at all.
Everyone expected this, right?
Yeah, no, we totally knew it was happening.
Oh, my God. I mean, it's just incredible. I mean, really, and beyond the Rays, like, the entire offseason just happened, like, in a week. Like, the entire thing.
Like, everything. J.D. Martinez gets his 5-year deal with the Red Sox. What else happened while I was busy?
Eric Hosmer got his deal. An
implausibly large deal. 8 years. What were you thinking, San Diego?
Yep.
I know we've discussed this before, but 8 years, no.
That's a long time.
Years for Eric Hosmer.
I know.
Like, 8 years for Max Scherzer would have felt too long. Like, 8 years for Eric Hosmer is just an appalling deal, but tip of the hat to Scott Boras for making it happen.
Yeah, that might be the one guy that, like, actually just held out and hung in there and actually got, you know, the closest to what, you know, he was hoping to get. So, I guess kudos to you, Eric Hosmer. I mean, I'm not, you know, Eric Hosmer's a fine player. He's okay. He's better than average. He's got some grit, clutch factor. He's a smart baseball player, but it just seems so early for San Diego on that deal. I really don't know why they felt the need to hurry up and sign Eric Hosmer to an 8-year deal when they aren't looking to contend for at least, you know, another year or two minimum. I don't know what's going on over there.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
AJ Preller, you know, AJ Preller has his own ways. You know, he's got his own medical files on everybody. He's got his own methods. So I don't know. Maybe he knows something about Eric Hosmer's superpower.
He is apparently aware of Eric Hosmer being some sort of baseball cyborg that we didn't know about. But yeah, you know,
they're advancing genetic baseball testing down there in San Diego, and they've realized that Eric Hosmer is about to just beast out at age 30 and continue that for 8 years, apparently without the help of any Mark McGuire's little helper or anything like that. So,
oh,
yeah. So, Yeah, I mean, it's been crazy. There was just so much happened. You know, the thing about it is that the Tigers continue to just, you know, be their boring little old selves. So while you were gone, like, we had, like, Guardy dad jokes and some Bozzio stuff, and yeah, it was kind of about it.
Yeah, well, let's talk, because of my Rays connection, since we seem to talk about the Rays a lot. I'm so sorry, Tigers fan.
Tell the Tigers to do something.
Let's talk Dickerson. Let's talk Corey Dickerson. Yeah. Should the Tigers pick him up now that he's a DFA and they have first dibs?
Yep. You know, my buddy Dan Hogan on Twitter posed this question to us today, which was, would you rather sign Ichiro Suzuki for, like, I think it's $4 million, or would you rather take Corey Dickerson? And as fun as it would be to have Ichiro, and I would love that, just for entertainment purposes, Corey Dickerson was an all-star last year. He's not a great outfielder. He's probably Castellanos level, but the dude can hit. He's proven it 2 years in a row.
He's got a good hitting tool. He wasn't great the last half of last year, but the first half was just dynamite. Like you said, he's not a great defensive outfielder, but he's also not, you know, complete trash. So he would do the job serviceably, especially since you're going to be operating on a platoon out there anyway. There's no reason to not have a guy like that in your lineup, because it gives you more options with the DH. You can kind of play around with Miggy, with Victor, both of them having had injuries. Corey Dickerson slates really well in that DH position if need be. So you can kind of rotate things that way, but he can play the outfield as well, which is really nice.
Has he played first base at all?
Oh, God. I don't think he did last season.
It seemed like maybe he'd faked it a few different times, but yeah, never for much length. But yeah, he's a left-handed bat. He's got some power. You know, he would kind of round out the lineup that way. The problem, of course, is that we've got all these, like, average dudes hanging around in the way. And I just don't know quite how they would use him. I mean, the ideal situation, obviously, is, like, cut Victor Martinez.
Yeah, well,
just use Corey Dickerson and Miguel at DH. And
I confirmed, by the way, he has never played first base.
Okay,
he's
never played it. All right. Well, yep. Victor's got that on him. Victor has played it.
Yeah, well, Victor's also been catcher, and we're not going to throw him behind for the home plate anytime soon. So.
No, that would just be cruel. Although, yeah, I'm sure there are some in the fan base who would like to see that tried a whole bunch just to see what would happen.
Oh, God. We don't need to go, like, full shit show. The season's going to be bad enough as it is.
I know. And we don't need to worry about trying to, like, somehow remove Victor Martinez from the team by blowing out his knee again.
No.
I don't want to go down that route.
I don't know why you don't pick up Corey Dickerson. People are saying, but he costs money. He'll be, after whatever his arbitration was, $6 million total, I think.
Yep.
For the season. I mean, the Tigers are not going anywhere near the threshold for what they can spend.
Yeah.
Spending an extra $6 million to get Corey Dickerson doesn't even take them out of being able to look at a guy like Chris Tillman for an extra starting pitcher position. Like, you can still do both and not be spending beyond your means.
Yeah, I mean, in any, you know, I mean, it's a drop in the bucket, $6 million. Of course, Chris Tillman, I believe, just signed with Baltimore today in another move.
Oh, God damn it.
So he went back to Baltimore. That's all right. I mean, this is the other thing. Like, there's all these guys that the Tigers could get. There's still all these, like, cheap, like, maybe this guy could bounce back type free agent. But I just don't know. First of all, the Tigers just aren't going to do anything. This is the Tigers, and they pretty much just feel like they've just, like, cashed in their chips for the year and are just, like, going to just roll with things how they are and, you know, trade Shane Green at the deadline or whatever, and that's about it. But,
well, that's the other thing. Why don't you get Dickerson on a 1 year so that if he does have the kind of start to a season that he did last year, just trade him in July. I don't.
2 years. Yeah, I mean, you know, he still has 2 years of control, so it's not even like a JD situation. You get the extra year, so. Yeah,
it's a no-brainer. You pick him up, but if what are you worried that he's gonna not have a great second half? Nobody on the team is going to have a great second half. Like, why don't you just grab somebody who could be really fun and exciting to watch?
Yep, I mean, the worst thing that can happen is that you spent $6 million, and when the trade deadline comes up, he's not going that good, and no one will give you more than, you know, some random, you know, prospect. Something along the lines of, you know, whatever, like somebody's 20th ranked prospect, which, whatever.
Quite frankly, is more than what the Rays got for him. I'm still mad.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing was weird. I mean, CJ Cron isn't a very good player.
But it wasn't even a straight trade. They just dropped Dickerson. Yeah. Like,
and we thought it was to make that, you know, in real time, we're like, okay, they dropped Corey Dickerson. They got CJ Krohn to take that space, but then not long after that, then they trade Odorizzi and they get like the Twins' 27th ranked prospect, who's like a shortstop, you know, really
young.
Yeah,
a shortstop minor league prospect. And I mean, trading Odorizzi was never a shock. Like, if you follow the Rays at all, he was kind of always slated for trade, like how all Tigers fans sort of knew any Ian Kinsler trade was coming. Odorizzi being traded is not a shock, but I honestly think people thought that they would get more back for that. Like, the rumblings really were, like, Odo for Kepler. And I guess the Twins didn't want to give up Kepler, which bums me out, because that would have been such a great trade for the Rays.
And then they could have taken Dickerson, you know? Like, well, they could have done that way. Like, you guys get the years of control on Kepler, so you got him longer down in Tampa.
I don't get it.
Yeah, I thought the whole thing, I mean, the whole thing was just weird, you know? I mean, I would have given up, like, looking at the Tigers farm system, there's, like, a whole bunch of guys better than Palacios I would have given up for Jake Odorizzi. I mean, I would have given up a couple of our young arms. Because if Odorizzi has a good start, you know, he's a fairly valuable guy. Again, it's not impossible. So, yeah, I don't know what's going on in Tampa.
Everybody's looking at it saying tank, tank, tank. But I don't honestly think that that's what the office is doing in spite of how it looks.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel they really are trying to build something for the future. But right now it just looks so hideous, and it looks like the Evan Longoria trade was just like this huge, like, slide down.
Yeah.
But they're still holding on to really valuable pieces like Chris Archer. Kevin Kiermaier's not going anywhere. They're not looking at trading guys like Jake Feria. They've still got a really strong farm system. So I don't think, like, we're looking at guys like Brent Honeywell and Willy Adames coming up in, like, the next couple months. And, like, it still, to me, doesn't seem like a team that's dive-bombing right into failure, like the Tigers.
Yeah, it feels like maybe and maybe they're right to do this, but just the way they've gone about it has just been so bizarre and so late in the season. You know, if this was their plan kind of all along, you'd think these things would have started happening back in December when all these teams were holding out on the free agents and didn't want to make those kind of moves. But to have it happen, like, right as spring training is getting underway, like, the pitchers and catchers that already reported, and they're trading these guys, you know, who've just barely got their stuff sorted in their locker. And I guess they're looking at Boston, they're looking at New York, and they're thinking, like, the window is just not right now. Like, we need to plan to be good, like, 2 or 3 years from now. That's the only thing I can figure is going on down there. We know they're not going to spend the money. I don't know. There's people screaming on MLB radio on my way home from work, you know, that it's time to get Tampa out of there. You know, like, Tampa doesn't deserve a team anymore. They can't support it. And, you know, it's just a mess.
Announced a new stadium build. I don't think that baseball's going anywhere in Tampa anytime soon.
I don't think so either, but I'm more open to the idea that it should than I was a couple of years ago. Either the Marlins or Rays. Both of you need to go away. How about that?
You shut your mouth, Brandon.
I'm going to just sick Bugs Bunny right on you guys and just cut Florida right off and let it float down.
My God. The island of Florida will come for you.
I love the, there was actually, maybe it was Kate Presser. I want to say it was Kate Presser at Baseball Prospectus because it was like the kind of article that was like in depth and I would expect her mostly to write. But it was talking about this Brancusi sculpture, that the bird in space sculpture that the Rays are using.
Yeah, the ridiculously shaped, we've had a lot of discussions about this stupid sculpture.
It's like this minimalist, supposedly bird in space, but it's basically like two sort of elongated pyramidal type.
Yeah, it's like a curving, it looks like an Olympic torch almost, like a really stylized upside down Olympic torch. And the only way I can see it being like the foundations of an established, like, they're using it as the inspiration for the stadium design. And I don't know, like, the area they're building the new stadium in is like all old, like, cigar factories. And honestly, the new stadium design would be better off going something Camden Yards than something hyper, like, like, to fit in. Like, you go brick facade in Wybor. Like, it's, I don't know.
That's not very Florida. I mean, I can see that side of it. But when I think minimalist, I also think, like, they just don't want to spend any money. Because that's just how I feel whenever I see anything to do with the Rays. Like, they're just not going to spend any money on this. We want clean lines. We want raw steel exposed everywhere.
So rude. They'll just make a really giant Ray tank. That's all I care about.
I know you're in a bad spot here because I'm just so beaten down as a Tigers fan, and I don't really have another team to root for that I can only feel better by attacking your team, and you're getting it from both directions now.
Yeah, no, like, this is great. I thought I was going to have at least one team that would still be fun to watch.
I know.
And then over the course of the weekend, the Rays have been like, wait, we can do better.
Yep. Don't stand on that rug. Oh, it's going. Yep.
Just trade everyone.
Yes. And that's, I guess you just have to wait and see, you know, when the next shoe drops, whether it's Archer. Colome is obviously going to be extremely valuable to people. There's still a lot of good
pieces there. Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me either. Like, if Colome went, that's another one that wouldn't be a shocker.
Yeah, the value there at the deadline is going to be really high. So, yeah, I mean, I don't really know what the Rays are doing there, but the Rays always have to do things in their own peculiar fashion.
I mean, we'll see. I don't know that any of the moves that they've made over the last couple of days take them out. A couple of the projections are showing them at being wild card potential, and I don't know that they're gone from that. I don't think that they've lost enough value to take them out of the discussion completely.
Yeah, probably not. You know,
I don't think a guy like Steven Souza Jr. is going to make the big difference for the Rays when it comes down to wins and losses.
Yeah, but you put him and Dickerson's bats together, and then
take Odorizzi. It's not great.
Yeah, yeah.
But if a guy like Brent Honeywell lives up to expectation, it's still exciting. If Feria shows what he had last... We're a Tigers podcast. I should really stop talking about the Rays so much.
I know.
Haven't done anything.
I know. The Tigers just haven't been that interesting. And really, the only thing, you know, is should they pick up Corey Dickerson? I just kind of feel like they should. I mean, he's right there. He's right there waiting for you. I mean, whether or not he makes the Tigers better, you know, from the smart baseball perspective, really doesn't matter that much. But he is a guy that you might be able to get a little something out of. You know, he's going to hit better than Matuk. He's going to hit better than Leonis Martin. He's going to hit better than Victor Reyes. And if one of those guys has to kind of be bumped for him to play,
he still had a 2.7 WAR last season. Like, it's still a player you want on your team.
Yep. And a guy that, you know, I mean, he could pull you a modest prospect, you know, down the road. So mm-hmm. I would like to see the Tigers do that. I think they only have until tomorrow to do it. And I just don't think they're going to. I think the Tigers just feel like they don't want to ruffle any feathers right now. They've got what they want. So
I feel like, honest to God, they're just waiting it out. I don't think they're going to do anything. I will honestly be surprised if they do it, even though it seems like the most logical step to take. I think they'll just twiddle their thumbs on it and let it go.
Yep. Yeah, it's, you know, it's just so obvious. But like you say, I mean, yeah, the Rays are doing crazy things. Meanwhile, you know, with the Tigers, we've got like Gardy's dad jokes in spring training, which are fun. And I knew this would happen. I never wanted, you know, Ron Gardenhire to be the manager. I was all on board with Gabe Kapler, which I also knew was never going to happen. But Ron Gardenhire is just an extremely entertaining character to me.
Oh,
like,
my God.
I knew I was going to enjoy him, and it's already like, I like Gardy now. It's driving me crazy.
He's so likable. I hated when they signed him, but he's just so friggin' delightful.
I know. Like, he's Santa Claus, man. He's just like, you know, it's just like lovable grandpa character.
Yeah, he's like team grandpa. Like, it's like good old Uncle Gardy. And I don't know what it is. It's like every time they release quotes from him, I love him even more. He's just enjoyable.
And it's such a relief from, you know, Brad Ausmus, who for,
so,
you know,
surly.
Yeah. I mean, Brad Ausmus just, you know, it's just, was just always, you know, defensive. He wasn't, you know, it took him a really long time to get comfortable in the role, talking to reporters, talking, you know, joking with his team and all that kind of thing. And you never really saw him get out there and just like, you know, dog everybody, like, you know, get after it. And Gardy's definitely that guy. I don't think that means so much as far as baseball goes, but it's just definitely much more engaging a personality to have, you know, giving us quotes on a day-to-day basis rather than Brad Ausmus, like, non-speak, you know.
Yeah, I feel like
comments.
Gardy's post-game interviews are going to be a lot of fun. I feel like he won't, you know, pull any punches. He'll give you the straight stuff, but it'll be really funny at the same time.
Yeah, he's got so much material built up.
Oh, he's been such a delight. And we're just in spring training. Like, he's just been so much fun already.
Yep. And, you know, like, I mean, Rob has talked about this, Robert Jackie, our site editor, you know, that the Tigers are going to come out this year feeling good and probably, get off to like a cute little start for a little while, and man, people are gonna fall in love with Ron Gardenhire, and all you're gonna hear is how it was all Brad Ausmus and didn't know how to motivate players and all that kind of thing. I just like the narratives are just so strong. I can feel them on my shoulders already. They're so heavy.
I'm looking forward to it. It's one of the few things I am looking forward to this season now is just, I think that Guardy in the dugout's going to be fun. It's going to like take us back to those Leland days, I feel, in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Like exactly. That kind of like old school grouchiness, but you know, there's a lot of fun at the heart of it. I miss Jim. Ugh.
I know. I love Jim so much. Yep. You know? And he's another guy who I was a critic of his managerial style a lot of the time, but his way of managing people was just awesome. And the way he managed the media, you know, you just loved him. And he understood the city really well. He bonded with the city and kind of the type of folks we got here in Detroit area. So yeah, I mean, it just all, you know, it just all fit, and it does, you know, on that score, Guardy's going to be a big winner. And of course, you know, the big joke this weekend was that he couldn't remember everyone's name because he's still trying to figure everyone out. And so he's calling people buddy.
Let's be fair. Even we can't remember everyone's name.
Oh, speak for yourself. I'm down to be quizzed right now. I got it.
Are you? I'm going to pull out some pictures later and we're going to do this and you're going to fail so hard.
Yeah, I probably will.
Because they all look like they just came off of a farm in Iowa.
Yep.
And like,
We've got three scrappy Dominican infielders, so I can't probably tell apart exactly. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be brutal.
Honestly, the only reason I know who Zach Reiniger is because he's got long hair, and if he cut his hair, I would just be at a loss.
Yeah, I would lose him if he cut his hair, too. Like, Verhagen, like, I know what Verhagen looks like, because he's got that sort of Kevin Kiermaier type.
No, Verhagen reminds me of Luke Pekonen.
Oh, but they don't really look that much alike.
No, same but he's size. Got that... He doesn't have the same sad, sad Lupu face.
Yeah.
Like they just remind me of each other a little bit. And that's how I know.
Yeah. Well, you know, similar quality of pitcher. Yeah. We'll see. I still, you know, I'd love to see Drew work it out because I know Drew's a good guy. A lot of friends of the site have interacted with Drew Verhagen over the years. And apparently he's a gem. So, you know, we'll still be rooting for him to finally turn it around this year and get something going. But basically, the big joke was, of course, that Jordan Zimmermann and Alex Wilson got a couple jerseys made up with Buddy on the back, and they and Michael Fulmer all wore them out there, and everyone had a good laugh about that. And then they auctioned those off, I think, to benefit prostate cancer today. So that was kind of cool.
I missed that. That's delightful.
Yep. And from my side, you know, from the pitching obsessed dork side, the thing I'm excited about is Chris Bosio and seeing what he can do with the new, you know, with the new staff. And that has been interesting so far. He's been working with Fulmer. We've been hearing kind of rave reviews from Michael Fulmer about some of the changes to his delivery that they've been working on, even since the first phone call that Bosio made to him. And then I caught like a little tidbit in Katie Strang at the Athletics article yesterday about Bosio and Daniel Norris and how he was like having Daniel Norris like tip his head down and keep the brim of his cap blocking the catcher's head to keep his like keep himself like focused on staying down. And I saw him doing that with someone else in some video today. I think he was doing it with Fado too, like had him by the bill of the cap and was obviously talking to him about like sight lines and how to kind of line his spot up with his catcher and stuff like that. So that was kind of interesting to see. Just to kind of see how hands-on he was already.
He had Norris sitting out for a bit, didn't he? There was, like I said, I've been off, but there was like a couple days where Norris was sitting down just to keep a groin injury down or something. Did I read that right?
Yeah, he was, he was a little bit sore, and they had been working on like some changes mechanically with his legs and stuff. And so he got a little bit sore, and he was due to go in, I guess, for a checkup on the groin injury that he had like 6 months ago. There was like a 6 month checkup. So they gave him a day off, and he went and got checked out. Supposedly, you know, structurally he's fine. He was back out there throwing today. So, you know, it's just always going to be an adventure with Daniel Norris until we can get through a season without something being pulled, torn, or otherwise tweaked.
Oh, God. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I am excited to see what Bosio does with him because I think for the last season and a bit, Norris has kind of been the linchpin of things going right. And if a couple tweaks, like we saw how big of a difference minor tweaks made for Anibal Sanchez at the beginning of last year.
Yeah.
And how amazing just a slight delivery change was for him. and it didn't hold, and I guess we'll see what happens with him and the Twins this year. Signed to a major league deal. Lol, lol, lol.
Yeah, at least an invite. Yeah, an invite to spring training with a chance to make the team. Yeah.
So we'll see how that goes for him and for the Twins. But it was really remarkable to see what a minor, like, slotting change made for his delivery and his success at the start of last season. Like, we went from kind of laughing at him, and later we laughed again, but coming out of spring training, there was a very real chance for him to have been our fifth starter. And I think it was only Boyd having such a remarkable spring training that kept that from happening. And so I think if we can see Norris actually pull something together with a couple minor tweaks, it's going to be huge.
Yep. And if, you know, and really it's just going to come back to him being healthy, because I'll just continue to maintain that until, like, he gets to pitch for like 100 innings straight, you're just not going to have good control over your stuff. Like, it's just impossible without, you know, the consistent reps. So he's got to have those, you know, those interrupted long stretches where he can just, you know, be totally focused just on pitching and not having to worry about, you know, whether or not something hurts or getting treatment before and after. All that stuff just kind of, you know, just makes it all the harder. And obviously, like you said, he was the guy that, you know, everyone kind of was looking to last year. Like, okay, if he can take a step forward, you got him, Verlander, and Fulmer. That's the makings of a really good rotation, and he wasn't able to do it. And he's kind of going to be in that position again, because he's the guy with the most unfulfilled upside at the major league level, and we're all going to be looking at him the same way. So, and the other cool thing Chris Bosio was using, or at least like the Tigers purchased and are using, is one of these Rapsodo data capture machines.
Oh, and what's this?
And this is the thing that really excites me, because, you know, they've already got TrackMan in all the stadiums, so they can record all the pitchers, you know, spin rate, axis, all the movement data on their pitches. But they got one that's like a portable model that's basically like the tracking machine. And then you've got like your little tablet right there. So every pitch you throw in a bullpen session, they can track. And I, you know, it's a small thing. I think these things cost like $5,000. If it was me, I'd be giving one of these away to like every one of the Tigers pitchers, like throughout the organization, to take home with them. They're not expensive, but the Tigers finally got at least one of these deals. And that, you know, and that allows you to kind of watch what you're doing, you know, and as you experiment with things in the bullpen, you can kind of see what the results are on your stuff, down to a really fine perspective on it. And, you know, that should really help them, I would think, you know, if they can kind of figure out their baselines for where the release points are and how their pitches are supposed to move, they're at their best, you know, then when you're struggling during the season, you have something to kind of refer back to and some baselines to, you know, to go back to and to try to match up again. And that's the kind of thing the Tigers need to be doing more of. Chris Bosio has worked for the Cubs, you know, the past 4 or 5 years. That's one of the teams and the front offices that's most kind of technologically savvy as far as tools to help players improve. So we knew Bosio would kind of bring that experience over, and it's just a breath of fresh air to hear, like, you know, Michael Fulmer talking about the spin rate on his slider and his interest in figuring out what that is and how to improve it, because it'll give him more depth on it and stuff like that. Like, I was just like, oh, this is what I've been waiting to hear forever. So thank God we're finally making a little progress.
I'm excited.
Yep. Good to see what those guys can do with that. We also had Alex Fiedo, the Tigers' number one draft pick last year, who had been off ever since finishing up the College World Series in spectacular style. And he was on the mound against hitters. And I think he faced Victor Martinez and James McCann, if I'm not mistaken, today. And James McCann ended up taking him deep at one point and signing the ball for him, which is the whole the whole kind of rookie, you know, the whole rookie thing right there, where you gotta have that.
Cute.
Yeah. So he was out there on the mound and, you know, kind of getting his first his feet wet, his first bit of major league hitters he was having to face. So that was kind of cool. But beyond that, you know, we're still just kind of in waiting period. Miguel Cabrera talked about his back, and there's really nothing to say about that, you know, other than we'll see how it goes, and same with Victor. So, it's just not a whole lot of news to report, I'm afraid.
Well, I mean, we get our first full team workouts. I think full team reported today, first workouts tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think that's right. Yep.
Which it'll be today when this is posted.
Oh, that's true.
Wednesday, whatever.
We are recording on Tuesday night, so yeah.
We are recording Tuesday night, so today or whenever you're listening to this, Wednesday of this week, first team workout. So, I mean, it's. I think we're getting towards the exciting stuff now. We're only a couple days away. We're like a week now away from the first exhibition game against Florida Southern.
Yeah, I think that's right. I don't have the date. Exactly.
It's the 27th or the 28th.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember off the top of my head, but it's one of those two, and then we follow up with the Yankees the next day. So we're a week away right now from baseball, which is, I don't care what you say about spring training games. I know they don't matter. I know it's like watching a who's who ... of Tigers baseball, because by the third or fourth inning, you don't remember anybody's names anyway. but it's still baseball, and I'm still so pumped about it.
Yeah, same here.
So excited to watch or listen to, or I think last year Florida Southern wasn't even like broadcast on radio.
Yeah.
So like we had to be catching updates from
like Twitter and
like Tigers beat writers. I think Evan, Evan Woodbury had a Periscope going.
He did.
I think he got busted doing that and had to pull it down. But I remember watching that Periscope with much delight. Yeah. So we're getting there with the sights and sounds, and it's coming back, and I'm starting to get excited. It's been a tough off season for excitement, I think.
Yeah, it really has.
Because so little has happened and so much got held up. And the Tigers are obviously in a very different position this year than they were last year, where we were still kind of looking at the potential for wild card representation. And we thought, hey, they did pretty well in 2016. Why not also in 2017? And we're going into this year with a very different outlook on that, in that it's we don't think we're going to do well. We know we're not going to do well.
Yeah.
So it's more of like, what can we learn and see towards the future from this season to get excited about? And it's hard, because if there's no winning on the horizon, how do you get excited for baseball?
Yeah. And I think that just nails it, because the only thing that can really make you feel better about that is actual baseball, because the whole process of like anticipating the season and what might happen and trying to forecast and all that stuff was out the window, because we all knew the Tigers weren't going to get anywhere this year, and they probably weren't going to make many moves this offseason. And then that was just compounded by the fact that no one else was making any moves. So there wasn't even anything to distract us from, you know, just the black pit we knew we were going to be kind of staring into until there's actually baseball. So I'm very excited. And apparently they announced today that Alex Wilson is going to get that first start against Florida Southern.
Oh, which, my God, really?
Yeah, which should set him up for success, you know? Like, I mean, you know, if you can't handle, you know, some college hitters, Alex Wilson, you just forget about this whole starting business. God,
that's so delightful. I love that so much.
Yep, so he'll be out there for his first start since he was probably, like, in double A or something like that, or advanced A.
Yep. That's amazing. I look forward to that in a serious way. And I'm sorry we won't be able to watch it.
Yeah. If I could just get Dan Dickerson on that, I'd be happy. That's what I need. I do need Dan Dickerson's voice a little bit.
Just get him calling that game. Oh, man, that's exciting. Yeah, that's the thing. I think we forget, because of you know, the cold. You know, in Michigan, it's freezing, and it's hard to remember how great baseball is. That, like, even if your team isn't winning anything, mm-hmm. I always say this to people who say that baseball is boring, is that no matter what, in every single game of baseball I've ever watched in my life, and there have been lots of them, something amazing and wow-worthy happens in every game. Like, there's a catch or an amazing hit or a replay moment. There's just something that makes you go, wow, or yes, or oh my friggin' God, every single day game. And may just be a 5-second moment, but those are what makes that whole season worth it in the long run. And yeah, I don't know. That's what I'm looking forward to, is my one wow moment every game.
Yeah, it does seem like, you know, more than any other sport, like, I mean, sometimes you'll see things, and I don't watch a ton of football, but you'll see, like, weird things happen in other sports, but there's just nothing like baseball. It seems like 7 or 8 times a year, like, a ball just, like, is hit, and I've never seen a ball hit like that before. Like, some weird squibber with side spin that, like, runs down the first base line 2 hops and then just takes, like, a sharp right turn, or, you know, yeah, a cat runs on the field. Like, just there's just so much opportunity for...
Somebody accidentally knocks a home run out of the park with their glove.
Yep,
you know?
Exactly.
Or someone in the outfield maybe calls I got it, or maybe someone in the stands did, and the ball just drops. Who knows?
Or someone just stares into the sun and can't see the ball, and then just becomes, you know, suddenly begins protecting their head. Like, there's just so many weird things that can happen. You know, it's such a natural game out in the elements, at least in most parks. And yeah, the opportunities
and even when it's
chaos
not,
are there.
It's... Oh God, it's so good. I miss baseball so much.
I know. And you know, because of, you know, just because of what I do, you know, I am excited to watch spring training games and watch it the fifth and sixth inning when all these random relievers that I've been having to write about and try to like find some kind of angle to cover on these guys. Like, I'll be happy to see Johnny Barbato finally take the mound and show me what he can do, and Ryan Carpenter and some guys like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm needing some baseball. Needs to happen here pretty quick.
Oh, baseball.
In Michigan, everything just melted the past 3 days. Like, it's been like 50 for 3 days with just like downpours, you know, coupled with a foot or two of snow melting off, and everything is now flooded, which is the other fun part of like mid or late period winter in Michigan.
In Manitoba, it snowed a lot and is still very cold. So keep rubbing.
You were around a campfire this weekend.
You know, I'm a Manitoban, Brandon, so when it's minus 16 Celsius, I don't know what that is in Fahrenheit, when it's minus 16 and it's just snowed all day, we go, okay, I guess we'll just put on an extra pair of long johns and go out. So we
are... You guys are hardy as fuck up there. That's what you're
telling me. We are a hardy people, absolutely.
You know, moment in our last episode with Chris Brown just made me laugh so hard, and it was where he asked if it was okay... if he could swear, and both of us, before he even got the words out of his mouth, were screaming at him like, "Yeah,
fuck yes!"
Yeah, that was a spontaneous decision making moment right there. We had not decided that beforehand. We just can't help ourselves. And
no, I could. I don't think I could be, because I'm on two podcasts, and if I had to go on any on either of them without being able to swear, I don't know that I could do it.
Yeah, you know, I did a radio interview with our buddy Jim at ESPN last
Friday. I'm going to be on with him.
Oh, are you? Right on. And it was great, but I hadn't been on a radio show in so long that, you know, it's been since, you know, whenever, like September or something. So I was just like frozen. Like, I was just like, do not screw up. Do not, you know, do not swear. Do not say anything, you know, out of line here. Just like having to like lock it down. Unfortunately, you know, it went perfectly, of course. Those guys are pros, and which helps a lot. But yeah, I was like,
oh yeah, Jim's great.
Gotta get back in that mindset.
Yeah, I'm glad I couldn't go on the other day, so I'm glad he got you.
Yeah, it's always good to talk to them. You know, like, I did a couple last year, and then it just got to be like, I had a couple other that wanted to do like at once a week and the same time, and it's like, man, I'm not getting paid for this.
He asked me, and he's like, are you sure? I'm like, I can do Wednesday or Friday, and he's like, Thursday? And I'm like, I do this at my day job, and I go hide in a room for 30 minutes, so I'll see.
Yep, that's what happens to mine. Like, I did one, like, sitting down by the St. Clair River one time, and they were like, you know, we can't hear you very well, and I realized, like, oh, that's not going to work. So, yeah, now I just, like, have to sit in my car.
No, I, like, tuck myself in a boardroom and, like, put a sign up on my desk that I'll be back in 30 minutes. Yep. I just go hide in there.
Gone on important company business.
Well, I mean, I get breaks, so it's not like I'm cheating the company out of anything, but it's still pretty funny that I need to, like allocate half hour of my lunch break to go and sit in a room to talk about baseball with ESPN.
I know, it does bear some weird relationship to, like, sneaking out of class or something when you're in high school to, like, go talk to the boy or girl that you liked, or, like, you know, something like that. It does feel just weird, like I'm doing something wrong, but it's my break, so whatever. So it goes. So yeah, you know, if you live in the Toledo area, you may spontaneously hear Ashley or I burst on one of your radio stations at some point to talk Tigers baseball in your ear. That'll probably happen many times this year. Before, like, the last thing I really wanted to go through, we can talk about, I don't know if you want to talk about, like, the whole new pace of play initiative.
You know what? I haven't read it yet.
Yeah, okay.
I, like I said, have been off the grid for 5 days, so this is the most baseball I've talked to anyone about, except crying about the Rays trades with my friends who did not care.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of baseball love in the middle of Canada, let me tell you.
That's why the Rays should move to Montreal, baby.
No, you should shut your mouth.
All right, I'm sorry.
When the Canadian is telling you no about moving another team to Canada, I'm sure if it was any other team, if you want to move Miami up to Montreal, their initials are the same.
Does that work?
You could absolutely move the Marlins up there, but the Tampa Bay Rays have to stay where they are.
The Montreal Marlins. Oh. It just flows off the tongue, doesn't it? The alliteration.
The Montreal smoked meat sandwiches.
Ooh. Or the Montreal cod or something. Something more of a northern fish.
Like you know they'd be the halibut. Expos.
Yeah, they would have to be the Expos again.
There's no way they'd be anything other than the Expos.
As long as it's they're like, willing to bring back those, like, 91 vintage uniforms, I'd be
oh,
fine.
God, they'd have to. But it's like, I live in Winnipeg, and so we had a bit of a hockey drought here for years and years and years.
Yeah.
We had an NHL team and then lost the NHL team because we are a cheap people, and spending money on anything is not in Manitoban's DNA. But we really missed having hockey, so they're like, we're going to bring an NHL franchise back. We're going to vote on a name. And everyone's like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Obviously, this team will be the Jets again. Like, there's not even an option here.
Yeah.
So, that's the same in Montreal. Like, if they do expand again or move a current franchise back, which I don't know that city financially is prepared for that.
Right.
But I look at Winnipeg where it was the same situation, and we've supported the Jets for going on, I guess, 5 or 6 years since they've been back.
Right, and to that point, obviously Tampa doesn't do a great job supporting a team either, so not sure if you're losing anything.
We make fun of that a lot, but
I know. And you know, kudos to all the hardy Tampa fans, because somehow, like, all, you know, 600 of you guys just make the whole thing work somehow. It's impressive.
It's tough. I think the stadium moving will be really good for them.
Yeah,
because
the access
St. Pete, where they are, it's not a great location.
Yeah,
and I think putting themselves in the heart of, like, a downtown life area where there's lots of residential right nearby, kind of like a Wrigleyville feel where people can just walk over to a game in the evening.
Yeah.
I feel like that'll change the entire dynamic of how baseball works in that town. And I'm really curious to see how that plays out. I think they're looking at like 2023 for that. So,
yeah. And that, you know, and that, I mean, that should pretty much lock them in, as, you know, they're not going anywhere. And those, you know, and that's been the issue kind of all along, so they say. Yeah, we'll just see. We'll see if they build it, if they come. And
yeah,
nothing else you can do about it. Let's run through the two biggest deals that happened over the past few days. JD Martinez, finally, the endless saga that really had no other angle on it than the Red Sox played itself out. He agreed to a 5-year, $110 million deal. They gave him opt-outs after years 2 and 3. There may be another one after 4. I'm not sure.
But, just all the exit plans.
Yep. I, you know, why not? You know, if you can get a player to sign for that and throw those in there, that's fine. How do you feel about JD going to the Red Sox? Like, it makes sense, but I'm not happy about it.
JD Martinez signing with the Red Sox is like the two most pretty and popular kids in high school, and like they're circling around each other, and everyone's like, will they go out? Won't they go out? And like there's rumors, and people are like, oh no, he said he doesn't like her that much. And then he's like, no, they're going to date. And it's just so much drama over something so stupid, because you know they're going to end up together anyway.
Because they're not talking to anybody else, yeah.
Exactly how I feel about this entire thing with JD and the Red Sox is because, like, there was never anywhere else. Like, unless the Diamondbacks wanted to ante up and pay more, they were never going to re-sign him. It was just, it wasn't a place that made sense financially for the Diamondbacks and just long-term for him.
Yep.
And we know that, you know, Dave Dombrowski loves giving money to JD Martinez and signing him to things, and he loves signing people for contracts he probably shouldn't. And it made the most sense, and there was no way that was going any other way. But then you have these stupid rumors like, oh yeah, I don't know, he says that he's sick of them waffling on things, and now he's looking at other options, but nobody ever mentions the other options. And you're like, oh my god, just right. Fucking sign already.
Scott Boras all like, oh, we don't need their money, you know, we've got plenty of other offers out here for whatever. Yeah, it just had to happen. So, you know, I'm not happy because I can't root for Boston, and so I can't root for JD now. He's become the enemy, and that's all right. We had good times, and I still love him, but
I'm just glad he didn't, you know, sign with the Yankees and have to shave. That was nice.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. There was nothing surprising to it, but I'm not, like, super enthused about it.
Yeah, it just seems like that thing that was inevitable, and we all just kind of have to, like, put up with it, so.
Yeah.
And the other one, and this is the one that's just, like, was just impressive, because after all this haggling, and I think the range of opinion about what Eric Hosmer is worth may range from almost zero to somewhere in the neighborhood of $250 million if you're someone from Kansas City. And he ended up signing with the Padres in a deal that doesn't make a lot of sense to too many people for 8 years and $144 million. And the Padres, you know, they managed to front load that deal, and you're going to just die laughing. I'll just let you.
I hate this deal so much.
Yeah, you know, and the thing the money overall, I don't hate, like, 8 years at $144 million divided out. Like, that doesn't bother me so much, but it's so long. And they're so far from being good, they're going to regret this in three years. Yeah, it just seems like this is just one of those moves where they thought they were, I don't know if they think they're closer than they are, or if they really, really value Eric Hosmer's leadership.
I just don't get it. I don't, like, I know we talked about this earlier in the episode, but I don't understand why you would give anybody, but especially Eric Hosmer, an 8-year deal.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to be an elite player, and you've got to be like 25, 26, you know, 27.
God, I don't get it. And like, deals like this never go well. Like, there's, historically speaking, there's no logic to giving an 8-year contract to anybody. Like, I rejoiced when the Tigers gave Miguel Cabrera a contract extension, and I was like, la la la, I'll be 40 by the time Miguel Cabrera is done with the Tigers. And now I'm like, oh my god, I'll be 40 by the time Miguel Cabrera is done with the Tigers. Because, like, even a guy like that, who I think was, like, 1 year removed from winning a fucking, like, Triple Crown, yep, and it seemed like such an obvious decision to get that contract extension in, you look at it now and you're like, Jesus, we can't move him. Like, there's nothing on, and you just get saddled with this idiotic contract. And that's why I just believe that no team should ever sign anybody to a contract longer than 5 years if they know what they're doing.
Yeah, or you do it and you get those years cheap. Like, if you can talk a guy like Michael Fulmer right now, I'll sign Michael Fulmer for 10 years if he's willing to take, you know, $10 million a year for that whole span.
If you can sign Michael Fulmer to a 10-year extension for $100 million, absolutely lock that shit down. But I feel like there's only sadness and regret to be had from a contract of this length.
Yep. I mean, at the last couple of years, I think they're going to be paying him $13 million a year. So there's still a chance he might be worth it. But it's just bizarre to me because, and someone joked about this on our site, on the SB Nation MLB channel, that, okay, yeah, talk to the Mariners about this. But first basemen aren't that hard to find. Especially first basemen that aren't great. Like, first basemen that are just, you know, pretty good player. Occasionally, like, you know, can look really good in stretches. I just don't get it, and I don't get it for the Padres. Like, this would have made more sense to me if the Red Sox had done it and passed on JD or something, but
it would have made more sense to me if the Royals had extended him for that length of time.
Just for fan service purposes.
Yeah, for, you know, that, like, sense of, like, it very much like a Miguel Cabrera extension, in that part of it's there for the fan base, right? You're like, yeah, look at, we've got your hero here, and we've locked him down long term. Because I know everyone in Kansas City loved Eric Hosmer. Like, when they won the World Series, he went out to bars and just bought rounds for people.
Yep.
Like, he embraced that town so much. And maybe that's what San Diego's hoping for there, that he'll, like, elevate them and be that franchise face for the rest of his career. Because they don't have a lot of that in San Diego as it is, right? You don't have a lot of, like, marquee players.
Yeah, I mean, so you think back and you've got, like, Tony Gwynn. Like, you don't think of too many other guys in their history.
You have to go back that far, and I feel like maybe that's what they're banking on, is that he's going to be that draw, and he's going to give that franchise a face.
Yeah.
But it doesn't make sense. An 8-year contract is insane. Even if you're getting it for a bargain, a relative bargain of, like, $13 million a year, I just don't see it making sense for them.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what it is they think Eric Hosmer is going to do for them long term. And I know that they have a good farm, and then that farm is within maybe 2 or 3 years of being really serviceable. But I don't see where the Eric Hosmer puzzle piece fits in that whole scheme.
Yeah. I know, you know, and it's just funny because just the way Eric Hosmer divides people, you know, I saw Bill James joking about how, you know, like, oh, Eric Hosmer's worth $144 million and thus, like, sabermetrics is invalid or something like that. But, you know, it's just like, it's just, it's hard for anybody who follows the game and isn't invested in the Kansas City Royals to look at Eric Hosmer as, like, an elite player or even borderline. So,
I mean, like, Eric Hosmer to me isn't even, like, remotely on the cusp of being a future All-Star.
No.
And I don't...
Hall of Famer, you mean? Yeah, not even...
Yeah, Hall of... Yeah, sorry.
No chance.
He is a past All-Star. Exactly what I meant is he's never going to be in the Hall of Fame. And I just... I don't know.
It just, you know, I just never buy these things anyway. You know, like, there's, you know, there's a value to having, like, good veteran leadership on your team, especially when you've got a bunch of really talented young guys, but you can get that a lot cheaper. You could have traded it, you know, traded with us for, you know, Ian Kinsler or Justin Upton. We had all kinds of veteran leadership. Had veteran leadership coming out of our ears, but they didn't want any part of our guys. They'd rather pay $144 million to Eric Hosmer, and hey, God bless him. Enjoy the
Man,
sun.
Eric Hosmer did not miss a single game last season.
Yeah.
Played all 162. Actually, he had a pretty good year last year.
He did.
Making fun of him. He had a .318 batting average last year.
Oh yeah, I mean he had it was a breakout year. And 2 years ago, he was pretty darn good too. But you know, the years in between that, he's basically been a zero. You know, he's been like a one WAR type guy, like below average. So I don't know. It's kind of mind blowing, but you know. It just goes to show how different, you know, valuations can be in teams. And I don't know, maybe MLB is happy to see that just because it provides a little bit more of an anti-collusion argument. Like, look, there's still teams out there that just go insane and spend stupid money on a guy they had no business signing. Things are fine. Business as usual. So it goes.
Lord, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, and like, you know, we were going to talk about this, but I think we are just going to pass on the pace of play stuff because it's just too much. And I really want to see how people react to this because I'm already seeing, like, I think it was Martin Maldonado and Wilson Contreras talking about how there's no way, you know, once they get to their six mound visits, there's no way they're not going to visit their pitcher the seventh time if need be. And if they're going to have to take a fine, they don't care. You know, the rollout has not been super smooth, but unfortunately, the rule set is rather complex, and it's going to take a while, I think, even before teams like really wrap their heads around it. So we're going to save that exciting topic for another day. I'm sure it will come up again and again all season long.
Yeah, we'll have many an opportunity to complain about it, I'm sure.
Yeah, Gardy was already talking about how, like, you know, what happens, you know, they're going to call a ball on my guy because, you know, he took too long or something like that. Yeah, okay, we'll see how that goes. I can promise you I'm going to be up here in the press box with you guys if that's what that's what goes on. Yeah, there's going to be plenty of opportunities for ejections and all sorts of fun stuff.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. Baseball
is coming. Yay. At least we're close.
We are. And it's, you know, it's always good to kind of have something to bitch about unrelated to players, right? Like,
it really is.
Having the replay option has always been great for a bit of saltiness. And I feel like this is just going to be one more of those things where we can be like, oh, can you believe this stupid pace of play bullshit and what it's doing to the game? And so it's another thing to look forward to.
Rob Manfred is doing a great job running interference, so I'll give him that. There's plenty of anger out there to spare on some other topics.
Absolutely.
Do you have anything coming up at either site you want to promote or anything like that before we roll out of here?
Oh, God, no. I don't think there's much right now. I've been doing the Throwback Tigers every Thursday, which has been really big for us.
Yeah, those are fun.
Those have been a lot of fun. I'll keep doing the 68 team. I'll do another player from the 68 team this week on Thursday. I don't know who yet, so if you have any suggestions, tweet me at 90 feet from home, and whoever gives me one first, I will just take it because I've got 40 guys to do. So.
Yeah. Ashley is a professional. If you just give her a suggestion and she accepts it, the work will get done. So.
Well, no, it seems to be literal. Like, the last couple weeks, I've been like, anyone have a suggestion? And I got somebody suggested that I do Sparky Anderson refusing to play with scab players, and that was a great piece. And
yeah.
I think you were actually the one who suggested Ron LaFleur, so...
Yeah, and Bill Freehan. Yeah, I just keep shouting.
And Bill, yeah.
Just keep shouting out random names
so,
at you.
Like, oh, honestly, about this guy. If you tweet at me about anything you want to know more about history-wise, I will just do the column, so...
I'm just going to end the debate right now and say Denny McClain. I mean, it's McLean? All, it's all right there. There's so much material. You could write a book about Denny McLean, and I wouldn't put it past you.
Man, I feel like every time I dive into these, I start the first 2 minutes, and I'm just like, I don't want to write about this. This is like homework, and which is stupid because I have a history degree, so writing history of things is really entertaining to me. Mm-hmm. So for the first 2 minutes, I'm like, oh, why did I decide to do another weekly column? I hate this. And then 3 seconds in, after I've pulled up a bunch of articles and I've started reading, I'm like, oh, shit, this is really interesting. So, like, I didn't think Bill Freehan would be that interesting, and I wrote 1,100 words about him. So, I mean, I just dive right in.
Yeah, there it is. As far as me, I've got an article coming out basically about Michael Fulmer's slider and how it's kind of the key to him breaking out even further than he already has and kind of taking his place as one of the legit aces in the American League. So I talked about that and some of the stuff he and Bazio are working on, and that will probably be out Wednesday, if not Thursday morning. And we're going to keep the prospect ranking countdown rolling along. I've got one of those coming. I think Rob has got another one coming. So in the next day or two, you'll see those hit the site. And we are starting to get toward the point where we'll start kind of doing the preseason analysis and a lot more preview of the actual 25-man roster as it starts to shape up. So that'll be hitting. We're just trying to be patient. We have a habit of kind of overwriting in the off season because we're bored, and then you get toward this time of year and you kind of have to take a little break and let things start to play out because we've already kind of covered some of these things to death. So we'll wait for the Tigers to be interesting and dance and do some tricks for us, and just keep following us there at blessyouboys.com. You can follow Ashley, as she said, at 90 Feet From Home on Twitter. You can follow me at Fiscadoro74. And for this week, we will bid you adieu and talk to you next week as games get very close to being played.
Ashley, real baseball!
Woo! Have a good night, Ashley.
Good night.